Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And once again, being reminded right now about the fact that I get to enjoy the show in a way that literally no one else on the planet does, as Anthony just, dancing away to the beat that the folks on the radio can hear but can't see Anthony, and the folks on the stream can't hear the beat. Because the copyrighted music is kept off the internet, but get to see Anthony dancing. What a treat for me.
What a treat. That song also just, I don't know, it gets me going, man. It just gets me going.
That was very reminiscent of, it gets the people going. Once the people get going, they get on the internet, they start leaving comments, and then we got to deal with them. It's time.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, this is how this works. We do the show. It's 3 hours long, between 4 and 7. It's live on the Team 980. It's live on the Odyssey app. It's live on 980's YouTube page. And then afterwards, we chop it all up, make it digestible. We take the segments, we take the meat, say, hey, this is what we talked about today. Digestible for you. And you go on the internet, you watch the parts of the show that you missed on demand, and you leave comments. And some of them are funny, some of them insightful, some of them are mean. I typically just delete those because we don't do that. We try to have a nice, welcoming community. And some are interesting enough that we decide to respond to them on the radio, and then we chop that up, and then we put that on demand, and then the cycle repeats itself, and that's kind of how it ends up working. But we call it Never Read the Comments, and we do it 5:30 on Thursdays live, and here we are. So we start with Matthew Hale, which I almost read, Anthony, as Matthew Whale. Matthew Hale, 8958, in response to our segment on the defensive preview. And for some reason, I'd have to go back and listen to what we said. A lot of John Allen trade comments came out of that segment. I was like, did we say something about trading John Allen? We might have, but there was a question that I thought was put forth innocently enough that it was worth answering. Anthony, realistically, do you think we trade Allen at the deadline if Newton shows out in the first half of the season, just trying to see the path forward if playoffs aren't on the table? Here's what I would say. It's possible, because everything outside of like trading Jaden Daniels is possible, I would say it's highly unlikely, right? You need a rotation of guys, first of all. And so if the defense is playing moderately well, it's going to be in part because those three guys, John, Duran, and Johnny, are all playing well. Allen, Payne, Newton, good rotation. They're keeping guys fresh. You know, Allen is not having to play too many snaps because Newton is taking some. Fedarian's probably playing all right ball. And they've hopefully elevated the play of the guys on the outside. They've overcome what is perceived to be a lack of talent. And if they're playing well, that's why I'm phrasing it that way. I certainly have questions there on the edge. But they've overcome that because those inside guys are playing really well. If they're not playing well, if the defense is not playing well at all, then I don't know how high John Allen's trade value is. Realistically, if I was a team that could use a D tackle, maybe I have one of my top guys get hurt. Let's say like Chris Jones goes down, or you know, the Lions lose one of their guys, or like you're one of those top teams and you're like, I think we can get John Allen and it's worth giving up a second round pick for him. Would Adam Peters listen in the middle of the season if the Commanders aren't playing well? Yes. But I think they had a discussion last offseason. John talked about it on stage with us at the Team 980 versus 106.7 The Fan event, that they had a conversation. And John bought into what they're building, and he wants to be a part of it. I think John Allen's preference would be to retire as a Commander. Realistically, Adam Peters has got to do what's best for the team. And if Newton is crushing it and Allen's playing well, but the team overall is not playing very well, could they say, like, hey, we're going to, like, you have no guaranteed money left. We're just going to go ahead and trade you and let someone else sign you to a new deal, a la what they did last year with the old regime and Montez Sweat? Yeah. And if you're going to get a high second round pick for that, or a late first even, which seems implausible for a guy his age, but maybe, I think you have to listen if you're Adam Peters. But it's such a fine line to walk, a small needle to thread, that I just don't think that is the likely outcome, Anthony.
Yeah. So I don't think we mentioned trade, but for some of the reasons you just named, like, he doesn't have any guaranteed money like left on this deal. He has one more year. And also, you know, John has expressed that he wants to win. Like, he's tired of, like, being losing and, you know, being in a terrible place. So I think that's probably why the YouTube commenter maybe suggested we trade him. But
which, like, if you think of it as, like, is he an expiring contract? Not really, but yeah, kind of, because you probably either re-sign him after the season, or you might move on. Like, if you're going to move on, why wouldn't you move on early and get something? Like, that's 100% on the table. I just don't think it's likely, because I think that they're going to want him here long term. Yep. He's done. And long term is 2 to 3 years, right? But you don't have to pay Jerzon Newton for 2 to 3 years. Yep. And so you can afford to have a little bit of a surplus there, especially if you're going to build your other expensive positions mostly through the draft. Like, one, they have a ton of space. Two, they're on a rookie quarterback timeline, which means you have $60 extra million in cap space that you're not spending on the Joe Burrows, the Dak Prescotts, the whoever is making $60 million a year this year, Mahomes, Lamar, like, all those dudes are 50 plus. And Dak hasn't even gotten paid yet. And I think he's still making 50 this year. So he's going to make 60 plus probably. And so with all that extra money, and the fact that hopefully your starting left tackle isn't going to be making big money because it's Brandon Coleman, and, you know, Terry's kind of in a similar situation to John contractually, so we'll see what they do with him financially. But corner, you're either, like, I don't think you're spending huge money there. Edge, like, there's not a ton of edge rushers that get to the market, so maybe you wind up spending some money there. But realistically, you're probably drafting your future lead edge. So I just think that you have the financial flexibility right now to let John Allen be a part of your team and the culture setter and a, you know, a part of the spine of your defense that's really valuable, him and Deron, for the next couple of years. So you probably just continue on that path. But if for whatever reason you're like, man, Newton could be better than Allen, we need to make him the starter, and we think John wants to go, like, you know, our timeline maybe is a little slower, maybe as great as Jaden's looked so far, we think it's going to take 3 years to be at the peak of his powers, not a next year situation. Like, let's get John somewhere where he can maybe, you know, be a rotational piece on a championship team, and that team is willing to give you a second round pick. I think Adam Peters will listen. I just, again, you have to have John playing at a certain level, Jerzon playing at a certain level. We haven't seen Jerzon really play yet. And then you also need to have the team be at, like, the right balance of success and failure that makes it worth it. So it's a tough needle to thread. P. Laurel commented on our chat with Nate Tice from Friday. Big, long chat about Jaden, about offensive, defensive trends in 2024. And I picked this one out, Anthony, because I think it raises an interesting point. I'm admittedly going to get on a small high horse here, but I'm going to try to do it in a way that is not demeaning and talking down. I realize by admitting that I might be getting on a high horse, then people are automatically going to think I'm being arrogant, but that's the nature of the segment. It's an ask for appreciation of intelligence. From P. Laurel, Tice seems to be swimming upstream consistently on the topic of Daniels as a prospect. Forget about his NFL career for now, because it hasn't happened yet. But of all the prospects, the most questionable floor is Mays. So how is it that Tice is saying May and Williams are the top two prospects he's seen in 10 years? I just wish someone would challenge some of the things Tice has said. Really makes me believe he's relying on measurables like size and not film. Practically every great pocket passer suffers a major injury at some point in their careers. Flip through them in your mind. So size, equating to durability, being a major factor in evaluation is ridiculous. I'll give you some credit for leaning McCarthy. He can play. Talking about me there. Going back to my pre-draft evals as if those are still relevant. And then last but not least, this guy sums up his comment. Ironically, he's also the latest pocket passer that has suffered a major injury. My response to him on the internet, and my response to him that I'll regurgitate and paraphrase, I'll paraphrase myself out loud here, is if you are getting stuck on the final rankings of a really smart analyst, which I very much consider Nate Tice to be, and you are not listening to what they actually say, you're missing the whole point. We get obsessed with the graphic, right? Here is Nate Tice's top five QBs in the 2024 draft class. Here's Dan Orlovsky's. Here's Lewis Riddick's. Here's Trevor Sikkema's at PFF. Here's this guy. Here's that guy. Here's Hoffman's. Here's Paulson's. And then you ignore everything that we say when we've done some amount of homework and research and come at it from some level of expertise. And I'm certainly not putting myself on the same level as all those guys I just mentioned, but I don't know nothing, right? We've done an amount of homework to come to those conclusions. And when he says, I wish someone would challenge Nate on some of these things, I did at the combine. We had that conversation. And he was like, yes, the things you're saying that worry you about Drake May also worry me. I see them. You're not incorrect on the analysis. I just ultimately don't think they matter as much. And thus, I would take him on my hypothetical team, right? And he's also not drafting for a team. Nate said in the interview that we did last week that if he was Cliff Kingsbury as an offensive coordinator, the guy that he'd probably want is Jaden Daniels because the skill set matches the scheme, right? So there's nuance, one, that people just love to ignore for what's the baseline ranking on the graphic. And two, the point is not the graphic. The point is not the ranking. The point is the actual information. And then it's up to all of us to suss that out. The reason Nate and I came out with different rankings, even though we saw the players very similarly, is there's stuff, for instance, about Drake May that I just couldn't get over from a consistency standpoint by the end of the process. And there's certain stuff about Jaden Daniels not attacking the middle of the field, for instance, that he really, really values. And Drake May did that at an extremely high level. I don't disagree that there's more of Drake May on tape attacking the middle of the field in college than Jaden Daniels. I just looked at it and was like, I don't think that's an incapability. I think there's the fact that he had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas on the outside, and he was making business decisions that were clearly good for business. He won the Heisman Trophy and was awesome, and their LSU team could have been a playoff team if their defense wasn't abysmal. So at the end of the day, every team, like real personnel evaluator, is going to have different things they value. And that is going to be both off their own experience and the system that they're trying to fit a player into. If you think there's, I'm sure GMs that love certain players that are like, oh, that edge player, that guy, I freaking love. I can't believe that he's available to me, but he doesn't fit my system and I can't draft him because my coaches don't have a use for him. That's the reality of the situation sometimes. So you can either ignore all that information, all the good intel that an analyst like a Nate Tice, a Lewis Riddick, a Dan Orlovsky, all these guys that we have on, Logan Paulson on Take Command, give you and just be like, but they ultimately said ABC, and I think BCA. And often when we say ABC, it's like, I guess A, but I really like B and C too. And the comments are, why do you hate B? I don't. And so my hope would be that if you hear this mini rant, that you go, instead of getting mad and being like, well, then don't do whatever, just take it. Anthony with me. Woosa. Hey, the whole point of listening to smart people is to get smarter. So I'm going to listen to the smart people and take in the information and be more informed about the game. I know that's not how it's actually going to work for some people, but there are some people listening. I would say probably a silent majority who will be like, yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to try to be better about that. Did I do a good job of not being too high horsey?
I think so.
Are you saying that just to make me feel good, or did I actually do a good job?
I think you did a good job.
Okay. I'm sure someone will tell me otherwise. Confidence is high.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Continuing on, never read the comments. We posted another one of Marvin's calls, Anthony, because they're entertaining. Chaos Nux says, Marvin's call was odd. He wanted Quinn, but will relentlessly scrutinize Adam Peters. Also, with how crazy the wide receiver market is, because he wanted either T. Higgins or Devontae Adams or Jamar Chase, I think was it? It was Higgins or Chase after the season. He goes, you really want to have two marquee receivers on the roster you got to pay? That's not a long-term winning strategy for me. Look, remember all the things I said about all the smart people that we have on the show?
Yep.
We book those guests, then people get to call in and give their opinion on the caller listener line, and we screen those calls, and so not all of them make the air, and not all the ones that make the air we're having on for the substance of the content.
Wow.
I just say, Marvin's entertaining as hell. His takes are they're incredibly mind-blowing. Like, it's entertaining because it's a workout for your brain to figure out, does this make any sense? Yeah. He had his most sensical call this week, and I hated 78% of it.
I thought a lot of Marvin's call, just because of how vastly improved the call was compared to his others. So I think he gets an A for effort.
Yeah, we'll take the A for effort. Here's what else I would say is there's always a guy in the barbershop who's wrong and loud.
Yep.
And they're almost as loud as they are wrong. And everyone just kind of laughs, and then eventually the adults start talking.
Yeah.
That was probably a little harsh. The adults start talking. But like, if you've been in the barbershop, it's true. And eventually someone looks at him, and typically one of the barbers is like, hey, and this used to happen when I would go, especially to black barbershops, they know what I did, and they'd be like, this dude like actually covers the, and I was like on the beat at the time. And they'd be like, this dude knows stuff. We're trying to get info. We're trying to get the inside scoop. Marvin, shut up. We asked him the question. Don't you think? Man, shut up. One of the barbers eventually just look at him. Man, shut up.
Nah, some people do really have really, really, really poor takes. And when I'm in there, you know, sometimes I just sit back and like listen, I laugh. Like even my dad, I think my dad has some really bad takes.
Shout out Big Tony.
Shout out Big Tony. And I just sit back, you know, I listen. I sit back and listen, I just laugh. And my mom does the same thing because she knows sometimes he just is very irrational. So, you know, you just got to let him be irrational. And then when they
get it out.
Yeah, just let him get it out.
And sometimes we do that for entertainment purposes here on the radio.
Exactly.
Every time Marvin calls. This one I thought was fun from Wonderful Faison. I'm fascinated. We talked about in a pick six last week, Anthony, that they're not going to do team captains this year on like a season long basis. It's going to be a weekly thing for them. And someone goes, I'm fascinated with this approach they're taking with being a captain. I'm even more intrigued by the sub leaders he will choose. Should they have a nickname, the inner circle, the round table, the core, so many options, because they're going to have a leadership council, but they're not going to have formal captains. Whoever is the captain will change on a weekly basis, or the captains on a weekly basis. And someone replied with the potential nickname options, the cabinet. I like that. For a DC
the
team,
cabinet?
I hate most political jokes.
Uh-huh.
But like the idea that like, hey, we got our Secretary of Defense, we got our, you know, all the other cabinet positions. You know, I leader of the Secretary of the Department of the Interior. Like we got Secretary of Education. Like we got all these people that are advising the leader. And while Dan Quinn is not the president, obviously, he's the head coach. I like the idea for a DC group. Like it kind of is like, hey, let's have a cabinet meeting. Let's get the important principals in here to talk about this.
No, that does make sense. You flush it out.
Yeah. Do you have any other nicknames that you'd like to put forth, Anthony?
No.
Okay, I don't either. I wish I'd saved more time for this one. And then we got a couple of punishment suggestions, Anthony. They're not very good, so but we'll read them anyway. Actually, there's one that I don't mind. Mr. J. Smitty 555. Craig, I have a genuine question unrelated to the topic of the video, but I felt like you would give a thoughtful response. Thanks, Jay Smitty. Is the media's main purpose in gathering information in press conferences ultimately for the fans? It's disseminated in the form of an editorial, podcast, or radio show, but main purpose seems to be for the fan. Why isn't there a designated list of fan-made questions screened by the teams asked at every press conference? Good question. The premise here, I would say, is correct. Ultimately, our job is to be the liaison between you, the fans, and the team. I've told that to many a PR folk before. Been like, hey, I don't know what you're doing to me right now, but like my listeners are your fans. And so if you want to reach them, hello. But we're an important neutral kind of step in all of that. What you don't want is fans asking, you don't want the team screening the questions, because they could pick out all the ones that they don't want to answer. That's part of the reason why we have jobs. Our job, and we're professionally trained to get information. And hopefully we are skilled in asking questions in a way that, you know, fans wouldn't. We used to do a segment, Anthony, we might bring this back at some point. We did the segment where we'd have fans call in with questions, and then I would reframe the question and how I thought it should be asked in a press conference, and then try my best to answer it. If you're good at the job, you can get better information than, say, a fan would, because a fan's like, why does this guy suck? And a journalist might be like, it seems that player X, had some issues this week. What is it that he's not grasping that you're trying to get him to accomplish? And a coach is going to respond much better to that than why did your guy suck? And so there is just kind of a one. We might have information, too, that I think that's the other thing is like, press conferences are a small piece of the puzzle. Real reporting happens behind the scenes. You have to know information to get information. And so if it's just, hey, here's what fans want to know in a press conference setting, you're actually not going to learn that much. It's the ability in an editorial piece, whether it's a radio show, a column, you know, a news article, whatever, to take the things that we learn behind the scenes, not at a press conference, because people aren't willing to say it at a press conference, with what's said at a press conference to create a more complete picture. That would be my answer to that question. All right. Last but not least, Anthony, we asked for more punishment ideas for our weekly Competition Wednesday segment. We're going to pick three games against the spread, and the loser, the worst record of those three games, is ultimately going to have to do something on a wheel of punishment / reward. Either one would work. And of course, people wanted to send in more punishments than rewards. I thought this was mean. Mr. Swervon, loser has to listen to Nick Wright talk about Pat Mahomes and LeBron James for an hour straight. Why are we taking shots at Nick Wright?
First of all, I love Nick Wright, and I wouldn't mind doing that because I love LeBron James.
That's also true. That's like a reward for Anthony. He gets to listen to Nick Wright talk about LeBron James. Also, you just have to listen to their show, and, you know, that'll happen inherently.
Yeah.
This one I thought was funny. It's a total misunderstanding of the show, Anthony. Gibbs Fan 19, punishment for Craig, switch your roles for one show. If Craig loses, Craig produces, and Anthony gets to host. Punishment for Anthony, if Anthony loses, he has to produce with Linnell in the same booth as him for one show, with Craig in the show host booth as he normally is. But Ant and Linnell must be together producing in the same booth. That would be punishment for you. But you don't need any help. Linnell would be a detriment on the producer side. That's why when Linnell is here, we have him over with me.
Yeah.
Also, Anthony getting to host the show is actually Anthony's nightmare. We've talked about this before. Anthony is not a producer who secretly wants to be a host. There are many of those in our industry. That is not Anthony's dream. It's actually Anthony's nightmare. He has had actual nightmares about it, that all of a sudden I lost my voice or called out sick last minute and he had to host the show.
That is true. I do not want to be a show host.
So that could actually be a pretty funny, like, the punishment would be Anthony has to, we wouldn't do the whole show.
Maybe a segment.
But Anthony has to host a segment.
Okay.
That would be pretty funny.
I'm not gonna lie. I will come in here.
You'd be so prepared.
I would get here 5 hours early.
For one segment.
For one segment. It will be scripted. It will be mapped out. I will be ready, though.
Last but not least, Mike from Southwest. This one I kind of low-key like. Regarding the bet, loser has to open and close a show during the week with a haiku about losing. I don't know if we have to do a haiku about losing, but like something related to maybe one of the games that you lost, you have to write a haiku. That's like a perfect, that's the right amount for a weekly punishment.
Yeah, that's funny, actually.
All right, I'm going to put that on the list. We're adding haiku to the list. Okay. All right, when we get back, speaking of picking games, we're gonna pick our division winners and everything else you can pick for an NFL season for the 2024 season. That's next on the Team 980.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.